Jesus gives us the picture of all of heaven peering over the portals of glory down into earth, and they're watching the drama of Jesus by the Holy Ghost hunting for sinners. And when one sinner truly repents and comes to him, they break out in thunderous applause and praise.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, The Lost Sheep. This is chapter one on the series called Lost. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Jesus once told his disciples that the reason he came to earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. In the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter, Jesus presents a parable consisting of four different things that are lost and then found. The first thing lost is a sheep. The Lord compares we human beings to that sheep, and so does the Bible in other places. He talks about the importance of finding the sheep. In fact, it's important enough for the shepherd to leave the 99 sheep that are still in the sheepfold in order to find that lost one. This message burns in my heart today because our world is filled with lost people who are just like the sheep Jesus describes. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, The Lost Sheep, from our series simply entitled, Lost. Now, most commentators say there's three things lost in Luke 15. I believe there's four. And let me tell you what they are. You have the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, and I believe the lost brother. Now, you'll notice when you get into Luke 15 that they're all lost for a different reason. The sheep is lost by straying. The coin is lost by neglect. The son is lost by rebellion. And the elder brother is lost by religion. And the Lord meant every single thing he taught here. He intended for us to see they all were lost for a different cause, but those causes are common to all of us. So today I want to talk about the sheep who was lost by straying. Because this sheep, or those sheep lost by straying, that one of the 99 that was lost by straying, was lost just like you and I get lost because we naturally stray. Isaiah wrote this about you and me. He said in Isaiah 53, he said, we, every one of us, have strayed away like sheep. We all left God's paths to follow our own. Yet God laid on him the guilt and sins of every one of us. Notice the words, all, everyone, we've all been lost. We've all strayed. We naturally stray. That's what the Bible is telling us. We are like sheep. And what do? They stray. We like to think we're smart, capable of leading our own lives with no help from God, that we're all okay. One of that well-known book, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, everything's okay. The bottom line is the Bible doesn't say that about the human race. The Bible doesn't say the human race is okay. We're not okay. We stray. We stray. We naturally walk away from our Maker, and we naturally drift into sin. The Bible says that we're more like sheep. We're more like sheep. And one thing about sheep, if you're a shepherd, and I've never been one, but I've read what shepherds have said or experienced in their shepherding, and that is that one thing sheep can be counted on doing is they go astray. So Isaiah says, all of us like sheep, have gone astray. There's not one who hasn't gone his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, because of that, the iniquity of us all. Sheep wander from their shepherd, they wander from the flock, and they wander from the safe boundaries of the shepherd's pasture. They're always wanting to stray and wander. I found it interesting, one writer points out that they really nibble themselves into lostness. Nibbling at this patch of grass and the next patch of grass and the next patch of grass. They nibble themselves away from the shepherd and the pasture and the boundaries that he has laid out for them. They nibble themselves. When they finally do look up, they don't know where they are. Do you ever feel that way? We nibble into this relationship. We nibble into that philosophy. We nibble into this. We nibble into that. We nibble into following some celebrity. We nibble our way into looking at life in a way that is not biblical. We nibble into different things that look like grass. And when we finally look up, we don't know where we are. We're lost. We nibble our way into lostness. They carelessly, sheep do, place themselves in danger of wolves and other predators and easily become lost. Isaiah again says, we're like them. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone, all of us, each person to his own way, nibbling along. Pastures and things that look like grass that are not grass that God has given to us. We're nibbling in the devil's pasture, and we wake up one day like the prodigal son who came to himself and said, how did I get here? How did I get here? I can tell you as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the words, I don't know how I got into this mess, Pastor. I do. You're a sheep. I'm a sheep. And sheep regularly get into trouble that the shepherd's got to rescue them from because they're sheep. This is why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I love the way he owns it. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said, he's mine. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And I shall not want. Now I'm jumping down some verses in Psalms 23. Then he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff have to do with straying. And let me tell you what they are. The rod that David mentions was used by the shepherd for straying sheep. When he spotted a sheep beginning to stray from the flock and strike out on his own, he had this long, straight pole that we've all seen him walking with those in movies. We've seen a shepherd walking with that rod. And when he sees the sheep beginning to stray, he is expert at reaching back and hurling that thing towards the sheep. And it strikes the sheep, and the sheep hurriedly runs back into the fold. And David said, it comforts me when I begin to stray and God corrects me. God corrects me. He used the word of God. The word of God is the rod of God. And if you ever strayed, and all there you are, you're straying and you've drifted and you've been nibbling your way away from the Lord on whatever you're feeding on, and all of a sudden the word of God comes your way and strikes you. And you go, what in the world am I doing? And you hurry back into the fold. That's God. David said, that comforts me to know that God loves me enough to take me out back of the woodshed. Amen? He strikes us with the chastening of his word. Now, the staff is something different. The staff was a long, slender stick with a hook on one end. We've all seen it in a cartoon, for instance, somebody singing badly, and all of a sudden this cane comes out of nowhere with a little hook on the end and grabs the bad singer or the bad speaker around the neck and pulls them off stage. We'll never do that with you, Cindy. But the shepherd had one of those, and he used it that way. He would use his staff to guide the sheep into a new path or through a gate into fresh pasture. Even when the sheep would fall off a cliff, begin to fall down an incline, maybe towards some water or something, he would reach down with that staff and put it around that sheep and pull him to safety. So the rod and the staff were all about the shepherd getting hold of a straying sheep. And David said, it comforts me. It comforts me. The Lord, our shepherd, uses the rod of his word to bring us to our senses when we are in sin. And he uses the staff. I believe the staff is greatly represented by the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God. The staff of his spirit guides us home. Amen? He's a good shepherd. Go ahead, give the Lord praise today. Come on. Thank the Lord for his shepherdhood. Amen. Aren't you glad when you began to stray one time, maybe many times, probably many times? Aren't you glad he sent his word and it woke you up, and he sent his spirit and his spirit grabbed hold of you and pulled you close to the shepherd again? Aren't you glad he's a good shepherd that finds you? Amen. But now the second thing I notice in this parable is not only is Jesus our shepherd, but notice that there is an urgency with the shepherd. Jesus said that he quickly leaves the 99. The minute he realizes one is gone, he doesn't say, well, next week we'll go try to find him. But there's an urgency. There is an urgency. And everything comes to focus immediately on the one that strayed. He said, the 99, you're okay, but one of them has gone. He has strayed. And we've got to leave everything, put everything else down. We've got to go find him. We can't leave him out there. We've got to go find him. There is an urgency. Time is of the essence. When you're really, truly a shepherd, shepherding real sheep, you know that time is of the essence because of something that happens to sheep when they stray. And it's called becoming cast. C-A-S-T. Cast. When a sheep strays, He'll nibble his way out of that pasture, nibble his way out of the presence of the shepherd. He'll nibble his way into danger. He'll nibble his way into the wilderness. When he gets out into the wilderness, eventually he gets tired. And so he'll look for a nice grassy area and he'll lie down. But when he lies down, a little indentation is made in the ground as he's lying down. And when he falls asleep, he has a tendency to roll over on his back. And when the sheep rolls over on his back, he can't get back up. And so he's what they call cast. He's a cast sheep. And here's the way it really goes down. With legs flailing in this helpless position, gases begin building up in his stomach. And if help doesn't arrive soon, he'll die there, or he'll become prey for predators who just walk up on a meal because he can't even get up to try to run. Cast sheep. So it is a top priority for the shepherd to go find him before he becomes cast. And it's a top priority of heaven to go looking for you and me before we become cast. Men and women and boys and girls become cast all the time, all the time. Like the prodigal son, we wander away from God thinking we're going to find freedom. But instead, we become entangled in all kinds of sin and trouble. And before you know it, our legs are flailing. We can't get out of what we got into. We've gone too far to get out. We don't know how to get out. We can't get out. Look at the drug addict. What he thought was going to make him happy or bring peace or fulfillment, what he first chose to do, now he must do because he's cast. He's cast. Look at the alcoholic. He begins drinking to calm his nerves. But as time goes on, he drinks more and more and more until finally what began as a choice is now a must. I've got to drink it. I'm cast. I can't deliver myself. And it's not just the drug addicts or the alcoholics. But what about the up and outers? Not just the down and outers. We love guttermost or the uttermost testimonies. But let me tell you something. There are people who are up and outers. Everything looks good on the outside. You take the so-called good person, the typical good person. They live in the suburbs. They have a good life. They make good money. From the outside looking in, it looks like they've got the world by the tail, like everything is great. Everything is on their side. They're on top of things. Never get a traffic ticket. They have beautiful kids every time. It makes you sick. You know, you got this couple, you know, mom and dad, the little children, the white picket fence, the beautiful house, the great job, everything looks good. We call them up and outers. They're up, but they're still out. Because the fact of the matter is, they believe there's nothing wrong. They are like the Laodiceans who say, we are rich and have need of nothing. But Jesus says to them, you don't know that you are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. You're still cast. because you're flailing in the blindness of your sin. You will die in your sins if the shepherd does not reach you in time. You're still cast. The down and outer is cast. The up and outer is cast. We are in a position where we can't save ourselves. No philosophy can get us out. No willpower can get us out. No wishful thinking can remove our sins. There's only one thing that can. We need somebody stronger than us to come and set us free. So the Lord is always calling, always reaching, always searching, always knocking, always looking, always on the hunt for that which is lost or has strayed. He wants to get to you while he still can. I look back at my own life. Oh my, what a mess I was. My mother to this day will tell you, we didn't know what to do with him. She told my fiance that. She almost backed out. Said, we didn't know what we were going to do with him. Because he was constantly in trouble. I remember being locked up one time and looking out the window, and I said this to myself, what's wrong with me? Why do I always end up in trouble like this? Why can't I seem to get myself out? Why can't I extract myself from this thing that drives me? I didn't understand sin. I didn't understand the devil. I didn't understand bondage. I was in bondage, but there was one stronger than me, greater than the devil, who was looking down on me, and I was cast. How many of you can say, wave your hands and say, I was cast? But then, hallelujah, but then God stepped into your misery and into your bondage and into your hell on earth. And he said, you put your faith in me and I will set you free. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. He whom the Son frees is free indeed. Look, says Jesus, I've been standing at the door. Notice the past tense. Notice this has been going on a while. I've been standing at the door. And I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. Notice the verb tenses here. I have been standing. I've been knocking for a while. I've been calling you for a while. I've been nudging your heart for a while. I've been trying to reach you for a while now. And I'm constantly knocking. It never stops. And if you hear me calling you, and how do you hear it? How do you hear it? I can tell you how I heard it. He speaks to the heart. Jesus speaks to the heart. And my heart got gripped by the gospel sitting in jail as I heard it. I heard it. Just John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Really? I didn't know that. That whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. I didn't know that. That sounds good to me. And it gripped my heart. Conviction grabbed my heart. He said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Conviction got my heart. And somehow in my innermost, I knew that I was hearing the truth. It got me. And when he gave the invitation, there was a tug. It's a divine tug. It doesn't come from you. It sure doesn't come from the devil. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a pull. It's a tug. I want you to respond. I'm calling you to myself. Open the door. Put your faith in me. Pray to me. It's a tug. And man, nobody stood up. About 50 of us in a room. Nobody stood up. And the preacher, and he had a couple of young people with him playing guitars. They kind of dejectedly began putting the guitars up, and they were about to leave with a no-response crowd. But something was happening to me. There was a tug, and I could not deny it. And I knew, if you don't get up now, if you don't do it now, if you don't respond to what you're experiencing right now, I can't help you. Because I was cast. And so I said, all right. And before I knew it, I stood up and I walked up in front of all these guys. I walked up to the preacher and I said, listen, I want to talk to you. And I began to cry like a baby. Hadn't cried in years. it was the Holy Spirit dealing with me. And I'm giving you my testimony. He said, well, I've heard this before. Well, you're going to hear it a lot more times if you stay here. Because I'm always going to talk about what God did for me. Because I was lost. Truly lost. And he reached down. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And the next verse has been true of my whole life. Through many dangers, many toils, and many snares, I have already come. And he who has brought me safe thus far will safely lead me home. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Is he hunting for you? Is he calling you home? See, I see one last thing that we would never know if Jesus had not told us about it. This is one of those things where he opened up a window for us to look through to see a truth we'd have never known. And that is that there is joy in heaven when a sheep is saved. There is joy in, who would ever know what's going on in heaven but Jesus? I wouldn't know what's going on in heaven, but Jesus knew. And Jesus said, likewise, I say to you, there is joy. Everybody say joy. In the presence of, look who, the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I recently watched a newsreel of a mother and a dad waiting in a police station for the arrival of their daughter who had been kidnapped 12 years before. And when they were told that the now teenager was in a police cruiser and headed to the police station, and they knew that it was real, they knew they had her, the mother and the dad fell into each other's arms and began to wail. They began to wail and cry and shake, and then they smiled and they patted each other and they kissed each other because their daughter who was lost was now found. Lost for 12 years, but now found. Listen, the human race has been kidnapped by the devil. And when one sinner comes home, it may have been a 12-year ordeal trying to reach them, may have been 20 years, but finally they are reached and the Holy Ghost brings them home. It says that the angels in heaven, listen, it's like when your team makes a touchdown and you're in the stadium and that stadium goes crazy. That's what happens in heaven when one sinner repents. When one sinner repents. Jesus gives us the picture of all of heaven peering over the portals of glory down into earth, and they're watching the drama of Jesus by the Holy Ghost hunting for sinners. And when one sinner truly repents and comes to him, they break out in thunderous applause and praise. Can you imagine that? He's our great shepherd, and he's always looking for the straying sheep. That shepherd is here today, and how many of you are so glad that you once were lost, but he came and found you. He came and found you.
Well, Jeff, those are powerful words regarding the lostness of mankind. It's so easy in the hustle and bustle of life to forget this picture Jesus draws of people as lost sheep. Now, does viewing others this way help us to witness to them? Are we more inclined to share Jesus when we view them this way?
Dave, I really think there's not any doubt about it. When we see others through the lens of Scripture, through the eyes of Jesus, we remember that unless they turn to Christ, they're going to perish. I know that's hard to think about, but it's what Jesus said. It's even a good prayer to ask God to help us to see people through his eyes. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and time is passing them by.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. That is a wise word, and it encourages us all to see those around us, not just according to their education or their pedigree or their level of financial success, but to see them as those Jesus died for, just like all of us, who need a Savior. Well, that's it for this time. On our next Life Talk broadcast, Jeff will be talking about the second thing Jesus talked of being lost, the lost coin. It's going to be a blessing. I'm Dave Erickson. You have a blessed day.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up on Life Talk.
How many of you are glad He sought you out and found you and called you and convicted you, and now He has stood you on your feet and planted you on a rock and changed your life and given you a hope and delivered you from sin? How many of you are glad? Come on, give God praise.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling The Lost Coin, in this series entitled Lost. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.